Well, good morning. For those of you who do have kids, next week is transition week. And so if they're moving up, next week will be the week that we do that. And so for those of you who don't know, obviously our bigger kids are with us during the songs. And so do whatever you can to make them feel comfortable next week, because you'll have, I think, four new little ones sitting with us as we sing songs. So welcome them with a handshake next week. They're so cute. Welcome to Edgewater Bible Church. We do a lot of things at this church throughout the week. I try to always say this. If you think that church is one day a week or even 1 hour a week, it's so much more than that. The church is really the body of believers, the gathering. And so we do that at different places. We do it in each other's homes. Sometimes ladies go out and get their nails done together, whatever it is. But we're not just 1 hour a week. We do so much more. One of the ways that we try to facilitate that is through small groups. And so if you're not in a small group, please let us know. I would like to be in a small group, and we'll tell you what we have available. Right now, we're kind of coming out of the summer, so there's always some mixes with summer schedules. So just shoot me an email, have a conversation, fill out one of the connection cards, and say, I want to get involved in a small group, and we'll give you the different options there. I'm trying to think if there's any other details, major things that are coming up. The men's meeting is Saturday. No, next Saturday. Sorry. September 1st is Sunday. So the following Saturday is the men's meeting. The men always meet the first Saturday of the month. So that'll be September 6th. I'm going to get into the Word. The last thing that you need to know about us, if you're new, is that we take this seriously. I don't just come up with a little speech last night and come and chat and we'll have a nice little time together. We are studying the Word of God. And so I hope that you take this seriously. I'm taking this very seriously. We need God's help to understand this. Let me be clear with you. If we don't have God here with us today helping us, it's a waste of our time. We might as well go out and enjoy the nice weather. But God is with us. And so we're going to ask that God would open up our hearts to whatever it is. Today is a very simple message. Probably one that if you've been in church any length of a time, you've heard it before. But it's so essential and so foundational to our faith. And so I'm just going to pray that if you've heard this message a million times, that God would renew your heart and you'd be just as excited today as the first time that you heard it. So before we get into it, let's pray. Father, it is absolutely an amazing day outside that you have given us today. The weather is beautiful, heat has dropped, and Father, we take this time to come together because you've called us to do that. We want to be here. We want to praise you. We want to honor you, and we want to give you all the glory that you deserve. And so, Father, I just pray that you would bless our time today through singing and through baptism and through preaching the Word and through being a church family. I pray that you would bless our time today. We've made a commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and I pray that you would bless our time this morning. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Acts chapter 15, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the chair. It's on page 923. Page 923, if you don't have a Bible, please take one home with you. That's your Bible now. Acts chapter 15. Last week, we really walked through kind of the details of this passage and kind of the logistical, how it all worked out and how to be right and all that kind of stuff. But nestled, comfortably underneath that first layer of the passage is something so beautiful, is a doctrine that we believe as a church. And so we're going to talk today about that doctrine. And that doctrine is salvation by grace. Salvation by grace and grace alone. This is absolutely essential. And so I'm going to take my time and kind of just walk us through salvation by grace. If you weren't here last week, here's the context of what's going on. Acts chapter 15, there is a debate going on. There are two sides of the debate. There are Gentile Christians. Previously, prior to Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there were only one family of God, and that was the Jews. But now the Gentiles have been grafted in. Now God says that the Gentiles can be saved. The problem is that some of the Jewish people are saying, look, in the past, people had to become Jews in order to be saved. So we think, this is one position, we think that in order for these Gentiles to become saved Christians, they too have to become Jews. They have to follow the Jewish law and they have to be circumcised, the males at least. The other side of the debate is, no, they do not. We are saved by grace and grace alone, not by works. You do not have to do anything to be saved by God. And so there's two sides of the debate, and they're going back and forth. They're bringing it before their elders. They're having a conversation. And then we see the judgment in verse 19, and then they pass this letter down to the to the church in Antioch. But again, just a refresher of what's going on. There's a debate. One group says you have to go through these hoops in order to be saved. The other group is saying, no, you don't. God saved them. You don't have to go through any hoops. You're saved by grace alone. So like I said, tucked amongst this and the foundation of this passage is the doctrine of salvation by grace. Let me read for you Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, which most of you are familiar with. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. I'm just going to not quote it from memory so I don't get it wrong. I don't want to get it wrong. Ephesians 2, 8. If you guys haven't heard this, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. Here's what Paul says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. Paul says we are saved by grace and grace alone. Paul says you don't have to do anything to be saved by God in terms of works. And we say that correctly as Christians. We regurgitate that sometimes. We say that, but do we really know what it means? Do we really know what it means to be saved by grace? And the reason I ask that question is because it goes against our very human nature. If somebody does something wrong, in order to make it right, they have to do something to make it right. But Jesus is saying, Paul is saying, that a person is saved by grace. So I'm going to tell you a story. I don't usually tell stories, but I'm going to tell a story, a fictional story, to help us understand this concept of salvation by grace. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story, and that'll kind of be a picture of what salvation by grace is, and then we'll talk about concretely what it means, but hopefully this story will help. Anybody in this room named Timothy? No, okay. So it's going to be my fictional character today is little Timmy, okay? So let's say you got little Timmy, and little Timmy is a young man, okay? He's anywhere between 12 and 18 years old. Little Timmy has the ability to make his own decisions. He's still in his parents' house, but he's becoming a man, little Timothy. And little Timmy is out living his life, and he knows there's something exciting down by the caves. He's heard about these things called the caves, and he knows that a lot of people go there to have a lot of fun. And so Timmy is intrigued by the caves. People say how fun the caves are. People say how enjoyable, how exciting the caves are. And so Timmy thinks, I think I want to go to the caves and see what it's all about. The problem is that little Timmy also knows, his parents said, don't go down to the caves. He knows internally there's something wrong with going down to the caves. There are people that are excited about it, but something deep down in his heart says, you know that it's not right, Timmy. You shouldn't be going to those caves. But the fact that he's not supposed to do it actually makes him even more excited. It's kind of like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. That in his flesh makes Timmy excited. Ooh, because rebellion is good to the flesh if you don't know. It feels good. Sometimes people just do the wrong thing just because it's wrong. And so little Timmy is battling in his mind, and one day he says, you know what? I'm going to the caves to see what it's all about. And Timmy goes down to the caves, and somebody walks him through and says, come here, let me show you the caves. And at first, the caves are amazing. Timmy is experiencing joys and pleasures that he's never experienced before. It's all that it's been cracked up to be. It is as fun as Timmy thought that it would be. And even as he's doing it, he feels this sense of excitement because he knows he's not supposed to be there, but it's still fun and exciting for him. It gives him pleasure. But over time, the things that once gave him so much pleasure aren't doing it anymore. And over time, he begins to not only not look forward to those things anymore, but he begins to hate those things. And there's people with him that are doing those things that he used to love, and now he's beginning to hate them because they want him to do those things that no longer give him any joy. And so the caves used to be fun and exciting, but now Timmy wants out. Timmy's done with that. However, there's a problem. Do me a favor and close your eyes for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That darkness that you saw is the darkness that Timmy is in. Timmy wants to get out, but he doesn't know how to get out. The caves are a dark place. Has anybody ever been to like Luray Caverns or something like that, and they turn the lights out? Like you can't see anything. And you don't even know how you got so far down into the cave. And that's where Timmy is. Timmy says, I hate being here. These things that used to give me so much pleasure, I hate them now. I hate myself when I wake up. I don't want to do them anymore. But I don't know what else to do. I can't get out of here. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. He's desperate. He hates the caves, but he can't get out. And Timmy talks to people in the darkness and they have discussions. How do we get out of here? And there's some people that love the cave still, but some people say, yeah, we hate it too, but we don't know how to get out of here. And there are different theories. And Timmy has tried different things. They said, this will get you out. This will get you back to where you used to be. And Timmy went down that road and it was nothing there. And so now Timmy, not only is he trapped in darkness, he's got no hope. He's got no other way to go. He's tried everything and he keeps getting darker and darker. But then one day, Timmy meets a man. This man is not like anybody else he's ever met. There's one thing that makes this man different. He has a flashlight. He has light where nobody else has light. And so this man looks at Timmy and he says, Timmy, do you want to get out of here? And Timmy says, with all of my heart, I want to get out of here. And the man says, I can get you out of here. I can save you from this darkness. And as this man has this flashlight, he shines it on Timothy. And now Timothy sees for the first time, because he's been in the caves for so long, he sees how wretched and how dirty the caves have made him. And then the man shines the light on his own face, and he is amazed at how beautiful the man is, because he's not been affected by the caves. And so Timmy is at this hopeful moment. For the first time in a long time, he actually has hope, because he believes that this man can actually let him out, can let him escape from his darkness. Timmy has a choice. Will you follow this man? Will it be just like anybody else, every other thing that promised to get out of here? Or will it be something different? But the man says this, Timmy, here's the deal. I can get you out of here, but there is a condition. Timmy says, oh, here we go. There's always a bait and switch. What do you want? He says, you don't have to do anything to get out of here, but if I'm going to lead you out of here, you have to follow me. You don't do what you want to do anymore, Timothy. If there's a cliff on the side, you're blind. You can't see it. If I tell you to move, you move. If I tell you to jump, you jump, Timothy. He says, Timmy, you don't know the truth. I do. And he says, Timmy, look, there's going to be some very dirty places we're going to have to crawl through. Some painful places we're going to have to crawl through. And it's not going to be easy, Timmy. But if you want out of this darkness, follow me. Give up the darkness. Give up the caves and follow me. Timmy has a choice. And Timmy says, I hate the caves so much. And I truly believe with all of my heart that this man can save me from my darkness. And so Timmy says, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. You tell me to duck because there's a thing coming, I'll duck. If you tell me to crawl through a place that I'm afraid to go through, I'll go through that cave because I trust you, the man with the light. And so Timmy begins that journey with the man with the light. And for the first time ever, Timothy has real hope. This guy's different than everybody else. He's got the light. He's got the light. And so he begins to follow this man through the caves. And as he's going, he starts to think something, right? He's so excited about getting out of the caves, he forgets one very simple thing. Where did this man come from? How did he get here? And so he says, hey, I was in the darkness. You came with the flashlight. All of a sudden, you opened up my eyes to the reality of where we are. How did you get here? And he says, you know the path that we're currently going on? I crawled through all of that to get to you. I went through significant pain to get to you. And so Timothy starts to think, oh my gosh, this guy went through everything that I'm getting ready to go through for my sake. And then he asks the question, and this gets at our point of grace. Why did you do that? You were out, you were free, but you crawled back through the darkness to save me? Why did you do that? And the man says, because I love you. He says, Timmy, I've known you before you were born, when you were put together in your mother's womb. I knew you. And I've seen every step that you've taken, and my heart broke to me when you went down in the caves. I knew you were going to do it, but you took that step. But I was there with you, and I was watching you. And then I crawled through the darkest places to come save you. Why? Because I love you. Not because you did anything, Timmy. Not because you were a great person, Timmy. I'm saving you, Timmy, because I love you. And you are my child. Timmy says, I can't understand that. And the man says, it doesn't matter what you understand. It's the truth. And then Timmy says, okay, well, after we get out, what do I owe you? And he says, you don't owe me anything. I saved you because I love you. You're my child. You're going to be with me forever. That's a story. That's a picture of salvation by grace. Okay? That's to get us in the right mind frame. So here's what the Bible teaches about salvation by grace. People are in darkness. Every single human being, with the exception of Jesus Christ, is in darkness. And they're in darkness because of their own choices, because of their own sin. I was there. Everybody in this room is either there now, if you're not a Christian, or you once were there in the darkness. And you, like me, hated the darkness. But we were trapped. We had no way to get out. We were too blind, too uninformed. We didn't know what to do. Our eyes were black. We didn't know which way was right. So we desperately wanted to get out of our darkness, but we couldn't. We tried everything. We followed every human way to get out. And we couldn't do it. And so we lost hope. Until one day, Jesus Christ came into our life. One day, through a sermon or through a moment in the woods or through a conversation with a friend, through some sort of supernatural moment, Jesus showed up in our life and He had light. He had something that no one else had. And we are wrecked by our sin and the shame and the guilt that we have from our sin. And yet for the first time, there's hope because there's something greater than what we understand. And if you're in this room, Jesus looked at you and said, I can make you good. You are not good. You are full of sin, but I can make you clean. And we ask the question, okay, Jesus, what's the catch? What do I have to do to become clean? Right? I'm the one who made this mess. You're going to clean me up. What do I have to do? Salvation by grace says nothing. You don't have to do anything to be cleaned up by God. Not to say that you don't have to, there's not something to be done, okay, in terms of works. The same proposition that the man made to Timothy in the cave, God makes to you. Here's the deal. Jesus says, you are not good. Even though you think that you're good, you're just not. You're hanging out with dwellers in the darkness and you all think you're fine, but you're not. And you are exposed for that. He says, but I can make you good. But here's the deal. If I'm going to make you good, you got to do it on my terms. Jesus Christ looks at us and says, I am calling the shots now. You're not running this ship anymore. I'm running this ship. And us in this room who are Christians, we said, of course you can run the ship. I've run this ship down into the ground. I've destroyed this ship. I can't make any good decisions. So of course you can make the decisions. Those in this room who are saved, you didn't do anything to earn God's love. You didn't do anything to earn God's favor. You are a child of God and you have been forgiven for everything that you have done and will do. But you and I didn't do anything to earn it. The only reason that He saved us from our sins is because He loves us. When our bodies were being put together in the mother's womb, He knew you. Before the creation of the world, He knew you. And He says, child, I'm going to crawl through the darkest places for you. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, sitting in heaven. Heaven's way better than this earth, if you guys didn't know. Okay, just, right? He's sitting on the throne and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come down to that junky, filthy earth and be killed as an innocent man. Why? Because I love my children. That's salvation by grace. And sometimes we ask ourselves, okay, God, you saved me. What do I owe you? He says, you don't owe me anything. You're my child. That is salvation by grace. Built into that is a few foundations, okay? A few things that, if you believe in salvation by grace, which if you're a Christian, you need to, is this. Number one, you have to believe that you're a sinner. Right? If you're not that bad, then you don't really need Jesus to save you. If you're not in the darkness, then I don't need the Savior to save me. You have to start with the presupposition, the understanding, I'm not that good. I may be better than everybody in my neighborhood. I may be better than my family. But according to God, I'm not that good. Number two, you have to believe that Jesus Christ, first of all, exists. Right? Timothy could have looked at the man and said, I'm just having a dream. I don't even believe in this. This isn't real. The Bible says that you have to believe. Because if you didn't believe, you wouldn't follow Jesus, right? If you thought he was a kooky person, you just go, okay, you go there. I'm not following you. You have to actually believe that he can save you. You have to believe that by Jesus Christ's death, your sins are forgiven. And when we talk about this, and this is something that's so difficult for some people, repentance. This is when you accept his terms. This is when you say, my choices are terrible. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. It's not, Jesus, I want you to lead me out of the darkness, but I want to call some of the shots. He says, you can't call the shots. The Bible says that Jesus came so that people would repent and believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you repent and follow him and say, I'm done with the darkness. I'm done with my own decision-making process. I'm putting everything in God's hands and I'm going to follow Jesus, then you will be saved. That's what salvation by grace is. Salvation by grace says that you and I, as believers, are saved solely on the love of Jesus Christ. That's why he saved you, because he loves you. Not because we were so great or we did anything to earn it. That's what salvation by grace is. Now let me just pair that with what it isn't to make sure that it's clear. Because what it isn't is what we think naturally. Okay, that'll make more sense. What we think salvation is, what we think being a Christian is, what we think in our human nature, what most people think is that there is a cosmic scale out there. There's good things and there's evil things. And if I can do more good things than evil things or bad things, then God will let me into heaven. God's got a list of rules, and here's all the rules. And if I just do a little bit better than worse, then God's going to let me into heaven. That's what most people think. And other than Christianity, every faith believes in works. Outweigh the bad with the good. And so we think that we're going to heaven because I showed up to church every week, because I fed the little puppies that went out there. I fed the homeless people. I cut my neighbor's grass. And we think, God, isn't that good enough? And he says, that's not how it works. It's not about following the rules. It's about surrendering your life and following Jesus. It's never been about following the rules. You want to know why it's not about following the rules? Because none of us can follow the rules. Anybody in here want to say you're perfect without Jesus? No. I'm not willing to say that. So it's not about following the rules, and thank God it's not about following the rules, because if it was, then I'd be going to hell. It's because we can't follow the rules, that's why we need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came into our lives to save us. Acts 15. The fight is, what must we do to be saved? How do you get saved? Acts chapter 15, verses 1. We see one position. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And then skip down to verse 5. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, just a side note, these are believers that are saying this, okay, this was within the church, they got this confused. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said what? It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. These people are saying, they got to follow the rules. If they want to be saved, They have to follow the rules. What have we just been covering? It's not about following the rules. And that's why Peter says what he says in starting in verse 8. Peter says in Acts chapter 15, verses 8, "And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" Just to be clear about that, that's following the rules. Peter says, look, we're Jews, we have 650 laws, and none of us can keep them. So why are we going to start making the Gentiles have the same list of rules and be just as defeated as we are? Because we can't follow the rules, they won't be able to follow the rules either. Verse 11. "But we believe that we will be saved through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will." Peter says to them, stop making them try to follow the rules. We can't follow the rules. We're terrible at following the rules. We weren't saved by being good people. We were saved because we were wretched people and we asked Jesus to make us good people. And so the judgment is made here in verse 18. Sorry, verse 19. James, the leader of the church, says, "Therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God." We'll cover the first 20 in just a second. But that's the first judgment. How are you saved? You are saved by grace. So, let me make this clear. If you are in this room and you are not a Christian and you think, I've got to do these things to be right with God before He will accept me, that is not the Bible. That is the teachings of man. What Jesus says to you is, yes, you are messed up and you will continue to be messed up unless you let me fix it. So don't think if you're in this room and you're not a Christian that you're going to make your life right and then He's going to accept you. You lay at the feet of Jesus and you surrender your life and you say, I'm terrible, can you please help me? And He says, yes, I will. So just to be clear on that, if you are teaching somebody about Jesus Christ and they say, what must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus Christ actually existed? Did Timmy believe that the man really existed? And then do you believe that Jesus Christ can actually forgive you of all of your sins? Do you believe that this God who loves you will let you into His house forever as His child? Not as a servant, not as a prisoner, as His child. And the third question is, will you follow Him? Will you give up all your control to Him solely because you trust Him more than you trust yourself? Now, on to verse 20. Those of you who are clever in reading ahead, Acts chapter 15, verse 20. "But write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood." Now skip over to, they bring this letter down to the church in Antioch, and it says in verse 28, this is them reading the letter, "For it seemed good to us, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell." Now the question is, isn't that a rule? Isn't He giving us a bunch of rules? Like, what happened here? What happened? I thought we were saved by grace. What happened? This goes back to repentance. Timmy's in the cave. Timmy's blind. Timmy's in darkness. Timmy doesn't know how to get out. He has to trust the man with the light fully. And so when the man with the light says, hey, Timmy, we're getting ready to come up to a really, really treacherous place, you need to stay on the left side. Don't even put your toe a little bit to the right side. You stay on the left side, Timmy, because if not, you're going to get hurt. That's a rule, right? That's a rule. That's a guideline. But it doesn't say that the man is not saving Timmy. He's actually using those rules, to help Timmy out of the darkness. And so that's what these are. These are really the basic foundation, not foundation, but the basic rules for Gentiles as they begin their journey with Jesus Christ. These filthy Gentiles who were saved, just to be clear, we're all Gentiles unless you're Jewish. They were really messed up people. They thought that prostitution was an act of worship. They were sacrificing things to all different kinds of gods and all different kinds of pagan things. And basically the church in Jerusalem says, okay, those Gentiles have like a million things to work on, but we're going to pick like the four top ones to make sure they get off on the right foot. Now, what you'll notice here is there's no rule about not murdering somebody. So are they free to murder somebody? No. So just because it's not in here doesn't mean it's not a rule. They're just picking, okay, we're going to assume that they know they're not supposed to murder people. Let's pick the rules that are the most influential at this time. And sexual immorality and idol worship were the biggest problem for the Gentiles. And so as Jesus brings us on the journey to save us from our sins, as Jesus says, "You're saved, my son. Come with me." He's going to give us guidelines. And those guidelines should be followed. But they're not rules to get saved. They're rules because we are saved and we trust Jesus Christ as our leader. Let me just read this for you really quick. 1 John 2:3. Just proving the point that if you really are following Jesus Christ, you don't see His rules as a burden. You see Him as a pleasure, as a blessing. Here's what it says in 1 John 2:3. "By this we can be sure that we have come to know Him, God, if we keep His commandments." The people who really know Jesus, the people in this room who really love Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you are glad to hear instructions from Jesus. Thank you for that, because I didn't know where I was going. Thank you for giving me more instructions. Application. I'm not going to put a bunch of application here for us as Christians. Understand, if you're in this room and you're a Christian, understand, maybe go home and do a little homework on salvation by grace. If you're like, okay, that story was nice, but I don't get it still. Like, go home and really grasp this. Because it is a natural tendency to put burdens on other people. "Well, I don't think you should come to my church until you do this. You're pretty messed up. You might want to get this figured out before you come into our church." It's not grace. James did not want to be a stumbling block to those who wanted to come to the Lord. Peter said, "Look, God saved the Gentiles. He didn't put anything in front of them. I'm not going to put anything in front of them." Okay? It's not to say that you let people believe whatever they want to believe. You don't just say, "Okay, just believe whatever you want. Everything will be fine." Right? Whatever requirements or whatever guidelines you put on somebody, make sure that God has set those first. Not that you are influencing and making your own secondary rules. So if God says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." If Jesus says that, then you're okay to say that. But there was a day back in the day, I don't know if you guys lived in this generation, where they would say, if you walked in the door, they'd say, "Your hair's too long, young man. We don't allow that in here." That's putting a rule on God's system. So my encouragement, my application to you in this room who are Christians, just put whatever God has put on them, introduce them to God, show them who God is, teach them how wonderful it is to follow the rules of God, but don't put additional burdens on them that God didn't put. And I don't know what that means for you, so I'm just trusting that God will teach you down the road or today. My last bit of application is for those of you in this room who are not a Christian. If you're in this room and you're not a Christian, we who are Christians are desperate for you to follow the man with the light. Jesus Christ has the light. He is your salvation. He can save you from your darkness if you are willing to surrender and follow Him. We believe in the omniscience of God, and so we believe that Jesus Christ is not metaphorically but literally here with us today. Some of those old school churches, you ever seen like the chairs they have on each side? Like one's supposed to be for Jesus, so you're supposed to like imagine Jesus is sitting in a chair because He's omnipresent. So Jesus Christ is here today with us. If you're in this room today and you are not a Christian, I wonder if you believe that. Here's what a few verses in the New Testament. I'm going to read red letters. So these are the words of Jesus Christ. So these are not my words. So if you're in this room and you are not a Christian and you think, "I am in darkness. I hate where I am. I thought it was amazing and it was so fun for a time, but now it's dragging me down. I hate it." If you want out, Jesus is the Savior. Here's what Jesus Christ says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus Christ, who is with us today, says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Let me read that first part again. Jesus Christ, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Matthew 7:13. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:13. Jesus Christ says this, Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. One last quote from Jesus Christ. If you're in this room and you're not a Christian, you're in darkness and Jesus is offering to rescue you from your darkness. Here's what Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're in this room, we want you to follow Jesus, but you have to make that choice. You have to believe that He's real. You have to believe that He is capable of saving you from your soul, from your sins. You have to believe that He is the way, and you have to follow Him on His terms. If you're here today and you're like, I want that, do me a favor. Talk to me, talk to Dave. Liz, can you raise your hand? Liz is a lady, if you don't feel comfortable talking to guys. But say, I want to follow Jesus, how do I do that? Or there's a connection card in the back of the car, back of the chairs, put it in the box when you're done. Let's pray. Father, it is unfathomable, however you say that word, that You would save us from our darkness. We're in the caves because we chose to be there. And yet You crawled through the dirtiest places. As the sovereign King of the universe, You crawled through being killed by human hands as a perfect and pure and holy God. You are the way out. We worship You as the King and as the way out. Father, we in our humanity, we think, what do we have to do to make it right? What do we have to do? And Your answer to us is nothing. Just follow me. And so, Father, when we think that we've screwed up so bad that You won't forgive us, remind us of Your grace. When we think we have to do things to make You happy with us, remind us of Your grace. Remind us of what You tell us, that we are Your children and You've loved us before the foundation of the world. And You would crawl through a mile of caves, 10,000 miles of caves, to save Your children. That's how important we are to You. Remind us of who we are as Your children. Father, I pray for anyone in this room who's not a Christian. I hope that they understand that they're in darkness. You're going to have to open their eyes to that. But more importantly, I hope that You teach them that there is a way out. And that through Your blood, You paid the price for all of their sins, if they're willing to follow You. We ask these things in Your name. Amen.